to continue on part two from the message of last week on rewards. Matthew chapter 6, a familiar promise of Jesus, verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Would you again please turn to Revelation, the last words of Jesus, chapter 22. Verse 12, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Last week, we dealt with what is he bringing with him when he comes, and that is the reward for those who have received him as Savior. We looked at 9 or 10 things that are found in Scripture that Jesus said, if we do these things, we would be rewarded. And I then addressed what is the best, often unnoticed reward that he's bringing with him, and that is himself. That will be the best part of the reward. I do contend that some are going to have a greater reward and a greater treasure in heaven than others. We just read where Jesus said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, but put some treasure over there that moth and rust doth not corrupt. We all think about the older you get, retirement. Have I put enough away that will sustain me if I'm not working? But Jesus talks about putting things on the other side for eternity. And so because of that, it's easy to conclude that some are going to have more in heaven than others, depending upon what you put over there from here. Some are going to have a greater reward than others. We dealt with the 9 things. In Matthew, the 25th chapter, where Jesus said he gave 1 5 talents, 1 2 talents, and 1 1 talent, we know that Jesus said in the story, the one with 5 talents was faithful, and he used the 5 talents. By the way, he gives talents based on ability. And yet, where do we get our ability? That be from him. Every good gift and perfect gift cometh from above. But the one with 5 talents was faithful to use the 5 talents. And remember, he said the kingdom of God is likened. So that means right now. And when he was faithful to use the 5 talents, then he was rewarded with 5 more. But then he said these words, not only to the one with 5 talents, but to the one with 2 talents. You can find it for yourself. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And it is true, if you're faithful with what God has given you, there is a reward here on this side of heaven, which is the joy of the Lord. Now later, the one that didn't use his talent and buried it, the wicked and slothful servant, we read that he got punishment. Number one, he didn't get the joy of the Lord here, but then later he said, cast the unprofitable, lazy, no good for something, blah, 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 servant. And he talked about the things that one would see in hell. So if the reward and the thing is going to happen after this life for the wicked, it will also happen for those that are faithful in what they do for the Lord here, that you are investing over there. So we're dealing with rewards. And I concluded the greatest part of the reward is to have the Lord Himself. I want to continue on that subject today because Jesus did say, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust and putting it over there. I want to talk about doing things here in this life that you're going to be rewarded for over there. So I want to, as Brother Jim said this morning, he started off and said last week was, I emphasized forgiveness, and today the blood, and then he said, it's really all good. And then he continued his thought and said, now we're going to be on Isaiah, this chapter, and it's all good. How many know it's all good? Well, I want to talk about it's all good when it comes to serving the Lord, and I want to reach out to more of the Bible. It's all good, and it will address this subject, because if we're so concerned about retirement here, how much more should we be concerned about over there? I know you just want to get there, and I do too, and you can't get there without Jesus Christ as your Savior and being born again. First of all, I want to begin by this and say that acts of unusual obedience will be rewarded. And that is found in the Bible over and over again. We would all agree that some things that you do, you had better hear from the Lord before you do them. Obedience is good. You'll always be rewarded when you obey God. But you want to make sure of some things that you're going to do, you've heard from the Lord before you do them. I would refer to Noah, was commanded, instructed to build an ark. And he did so because God told him to build the ark. This was an unusual request, and therefore it would be unusual act of obedience. Hebrews 11:7 says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen, as yet moved with fear, he prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. Noah was rewarded for obeying God to do what he was instructed to do. Now, I would suggest to you, don't go out and build an ark unless you've heard from God. And then if you did, I would say, I don't think you heard from God. But if whatever it is that God tells you to do, do it. And God will reward you. And there are tremendous acts that we read that God's children did simply on the basis they were told to do them. One of the greatest examples that to me is even greater than Noah's is Abraham, when he was commanded to take his son, his only son whom thou lovest, and sacrifice him. And the Bible said that Abraham, he went out to obey God, and we know the story how God stopped him at the last bit. But because Noah was obedient to do what God told him to do, as unusual as it was, he was rewarded greatly. And you will be rewarded if you do what God tells you to do. Now, if you think that God is telling you to go kill somebody like he told him to kill his son, you're going to be rewarded. Yeah, you're going to go to the big house, or you'll be electrocuted, because obviously God wouldn't tell you to do that. They say, well, how could God tell Abraham to go against the law? Well, let's just say the law hadn't been given yet. It wasn't given until Moses came along. Here's another one. Jesus is rewarded, and I repeat, or I refer to Abraham was greatly rewarded for doing what God told him to do, as unusual as it was. But the greatest example, Abraham's was greater than Noah's, and Jesus is greater than Abraham's. We read that Jesus was rewarded for obeying his father because he was sent to die. And Philippians 2:8 says, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And guess what? God rewarded him for him doing what God had him do. Wherefore, God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, understanding that there are some things that you should not do unless you're instructed to do them. And I've called them, for the sake of this sermon, unusual acts of obedience. And God may have you do something that you feel God has told you to do. If you'll do it, he'll reward you. Whether it be Noah, whether it be Abraham, or whether it be Jesus. I in no way am comparing what I did to them. But when it came to pioneering a church in Wairika, and I know that God had spoken to myself to go there and start up a church, I was obedient to that. And I did what I know God told me to do. One night when I was walking downtown in Wairika, in fact, one night I was praying, I remember, and a cop stopped me. What I was doing. I've been stopped 3 or 4 times out walking late at night, wanting to know what I'm doing. You ought to see their expressions when I tell them, I'm praying for you. But one night walking down the streets in Northern California in Wairika, shortly after we arrived, I remember the Lord spoke to me and said, because you have obeyed me in coming, he let me know that I would be blessed in a certain way. And I've watched him keep his word and reward me as he said. But if you're instructed to do something, you will be rewarded for obeying it. But let's look at things that we're instructed to do that everyone is commanded to do. I have given illustrations that were tailored fit for the individual, which may or may not happen to you. But now we're going to broaden this and look at things that it's not just for certain individuals, but I would say from the authority of the Word of God, this is for everyone or every child of God. And the first one is Acts chapter 17, verse 30. And this is true, that everyone is commanded to repent. Everyone. Acts chapter 17, verse 30, and the times of this ignorance God winked at. He's talking about in the Old Testament, God, you know, kind of let it get by. But he said, but now commendeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men. There is a reward if you repent. When you repented and received Jesus Christ, you received perhaps the greatest reward you would ever get. And that is, your sins were forgiven and they were washed in the blood of the Lamb. If you repented, you received eternal life. If you repented, you received a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. How many know that's a pretty good reward for repenting? So it's commanded, now he commandeth man everywhere to repent. And there is a reward in the book of Revelation. Now you may think that you were only supposed to repent when you first came to the Lord, but you would be mistaken, because I'm sure since then you have not lived a perfect life and you still have come short and you still need to ask God to forgive you if you do sin, and you will again be rewarded. It may not be the way it was the first time, but we read in the book of Revelation of the seven churches, and five of them, he tells them to repent of something. So the first one is repentance. Here's something everyone is commanded to do. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, let me give you three places out of the four gospels. Three of the gospels say that every believer is to do this. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth, and here is the commandment to everyone. That's you and me and everyone who claims Jesus as their Savior. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. He's basically saying every child of God is to share Christ and to let your light shine. And that can be done a thousand ways, but it is a commandment. It's said in Mark's gospel, and these are every gospel right at the very end, in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, Jesus said, and he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. That's for every one of us, again, as Matthew. And then the third one is found in Luke chapter 24, verse 47. He says, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things. So here we have a written command that was verbally given by Jesus. We have in the three Gospels, and yet in the book of Acts, we have some very interesting words that remind me of Paul's words in Philippians. By the way, I forgot to mention to you the title of this sermon, and it is, Must You Always Be Told? Must you always be told? So after Jesus has verbally, and we have it recorded, where he tells them, Matthew's and Mark's and Luke's gospel, to go into all the world, make disciples, preach the gospel, he said one other thing, to go to Jerusalem, and you wait until you be endued with power. He tells them, we Pentecostal people, full gospel people, know this well, to wait for the promise of the Father. And then when the Holy Spirit comes, as he's promised, then you go and you do what he had told you to do in going into all the world. So we have these two commands. And notice that as they went out and saw Jesus ascend and go up into glory, we know there were 500 people that observed that occasion, that two men in white apparel, we know were angels, stood by looking at the crowd and said to some of them, "What are you waiting for? Why stand you there gazing? This same Jesus that you have seen go shall come in like manner." But you could almost read into those words, do you have to be told again? You were already told by Jesus. And here they are. If I wish there was an artist that would paint that scene, because I think every one of them, their mouths were like this. I don't know what it is when we look up. Bill Cosby said it's because when you were babies and you were being fed baby food, okay, here it comes, open your mouth. I don't know, that's really bad humor, Pastor. But here they are, and the angel said, do you have to be told again? What are you waiting for? Now, I think it's wonderful that we've been instructed to do the most simple things. We've been commanded to witness. We've been commanded to pray. We've been commanded to read His Word, study the Scriptures. But a sign of maturity, please hear me, a sign of maturity says you'll do them without being told to do them. I think it's wonderful that the Holy Spirit nudges us by the Holy Spirit to pray. There have been times when I'm just going along and I sense by the Holy Spirit, I need to pray. I don't even know what I need to pray about. I just know I need to pray. Sometimes He tells me what I need to pray about, but sometimes He doesn't. I thank God for the nudging of the Holy Spirit that tells me to pray. I think it's wonderful when the Lord nudges us and He tells you, you need to give. It ain't your flesh telling you to give. But sometimes you're maybe an offering's being taken and you sense the Lord nudging you to give. And He might even tell you how much to give. I think it's wonderful that the Lord leads us to witness to people. Sometimes the Lord will lay someone on my heart that I need to say something to. I think that's wonderful. And maybe He lays them on my heart to pray for them. I think that's good. I think it's good the Lord lays on our heart someone that maybe I might be out. And in the book of Acts, you find that one of the evangelists was told to leave the revival and go. And wait, there's somebody I want you to talk to. And it was the man on the chariot. Those are great when the Holy Spirit leads us to do something. But what I'm saying is maturity is being formed in you when you're not told to do them. When you don't feel the Holy Spirit nudging them. This should be enough without the Holy Spirit nudging you. And I agree, you need wisdom when you do. Remember, I'm talking about laying up treasures in heaven. And the greatest treasure you're going to lay up is when you're obedient, when you weren't told to do something. How often I've heard the expression from someone that received a gift from someone and they're grateful that someone gave them something and they'll say, "You didn't have to do that. That was so kind of you. Oh, I wanted to do it." And the person is so grateful that the person gave to them out of love. Now we Pentecostal people, stay with me please, can sometimes use the Holy Spirit as a cop-out. What do you mean, Pastor, you could use the Holy Spirit as a cop-out? Maybe I'm not using the right words. But how often I've heard people say, well, I didn't feel led. I didn't feel the Spirit nudge me. Do you have to always have the Holy Spirit nudge you to do what we're already told to do? We should be able to witness to someone whether I feel the Lord nudging me by the Holy Spirit or not. I should pray whether I sense the Holy Spirit telling me to pray or not. I should be able to give whether I sense the Holy Spirit telling me to give or not, because this should be motivation enough. And we can often use it as an excuse. Well, I didn't feel led, or I didn't feel the Holy Spirit quickened me. I want to refer to you a story of King David, who was so excited about bringing the Ark of the Covenant into town. And the Bible says that David, I remember a sermon I preached when I was about 20, one of my second or third sermons, and I was telling that story, and it was church, it was quite a church, and I remember saying, and David got so excited that he took off his linen ephod and danced before the Lord. And right in the middle of my sermon, I thought, what is a linen ephod? And I turned around hoping I said it quiet. I don't think I was wired up in those days, but I said, what's a linen ephod? And a little lady down in the front row, boy, she could turn that church upside down. She said, Brother Connors is underwear. You have him naked dancing. Now what are you going to do? And I remember laughter broke out, and I broke out in laughter. I didn't know what to do, but it was on recording. But David, he's dancing down through the middle of town. He's so excited because the Ark of the Covenant is coming, and the Bible says he danced. Now, the Holy Spirit didn't tell him to dance. Nowhere in the Scripture do you find that he's instructed to dance. Where did we Pentecostal people ever get the idea? Well, I don't think they were in the Spirit. Who said you got to be in the Spirit to dance? But I've heard that. Well, I don't think that was the Spirit of God. Well, I know your criticism's not of God. That's what I know. And so David, he decided to dance. And he dances just out of the pureness of his heart. He's not told to do it. He just loves the Lord and he's grateful. Oh God, give us that kind of a reaction to the Lord again. And his wife, Michal, Saul's daughter, I think Saul knew what he was doing when he gave her Michal. He didn't like David, but that's another subject. And she looks at him out of the basement, said, look out of the window. They didn't have windows, but they had slots. And it said she despised him in her heart. And when she finally met him, she said, she began to throw him under the bus. She said, you look like an idiot out there. And how vaingloriously. And then she tried to insert motives into him. Poor David, people are always trying to put motives in him that weren't there. Even his brothers back when he slew Goliath said, I know why you're here, the nonsense of your heart, naughty. You got wrong motives. No, no. And here again, he dances before the Lord and his wife rips him and criticizes him. And he says, look, it was before God that I did that. My point is this, he did it without being told, because out of the pureness of his heart, he wanted to glorify God. You don't have to have the Spirit of God tell you to dance. But if you have a heart that's overflowing, I suggest if you want to dance, go ahead and dance. Bring it back to the church where everything is not always the Spirit, but you got enough Spirit in you and enough God in you and enough gratefulness in you that you want to say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. You remember the lepers that Jesus healed? And only one returned to give thanks. Didn't say the Spirit told him. He just, out of gratefulness in his heart, came to Jesus. Thank you for healing my leprosy. And Jesus said, you know what he said, where are the nine? And we've preached for years, or for 2,000 years we've preached, shame on them nine. Can you imagine if that one who got healed or someone else ran up and caught the nine and say, hey, you just got thrown under the bus because you didn't return thanks. And suppose they said, oh, well, let's run back and give thanks. How many know it wouldn't mean near as much because it wasn't out of the heart? It wasn't, and my point is, do you always got to be told? I hope that your love for God is enough that you'll care about the lost, and whether you're told by the Holy Spirit or not, you'll do it anyway. That's where the rewards come from, in a much greater way, without being told to do it. On these things that are already written. That's why Moses, when he sees a burning bush in the wilderness, nowhere do you find the Holy Spirit said, Moses, turn aside. He turned aside because of his hunger for God without being told. That's where your reward is. It's you doing those things for God, and you're not told to do them. You remember Solomon, we had a dream, and he was now king, and God came to him and said, Solomon, in the dream, ask me anything you want. God did not tell him what to ask for, because what you ask for is going to reveal your heart and will determine your reward. And Solomon, the Bible says, he asked for wisdom. He wasn't told to ask for wisdom, but because he wanted to be a blessing to the people and please God, he asked for wisdom. And God, the Bible says, was pleased. He was pleased. And he's going to reward him. And he rewarded him because he did something without being told to do it. And he gave him the three things that one might, for self-serving purposes, ask for. He could have asked for longevity, live long. He could have asked for vengeance over his enemies. And he could have asked for riches, but he didn't ask for any of those things. But on his own, he asked for wisdom without being told. And that pleased God. And he rewarded him greatly. If you tell these teenagers, clean your room up, and they clean their room up, that's good. But if you clean your room up without being told, she'll faint. How many know what I'm talking about? And I don't know you, and I'm just using this as illustration. You know what the book of John says in the epistle of John? It says if we'll ask, he'll answer us. And we know that he'll answer us because we keep his commandments. And the next verse is, and do those things that are pleasing. A lot of people are good at obeying. Good. It has its reward. But can I tell you where the real reward is? Doing it without being told. Because your heart just wants to please God. That's where the reward is. And he says, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing. What's pleasing? Go back to Solomon. Wow, Solomon. You did it. And oh, God, help us. And I've said all that to say this, that we want to obey. But be careful if you're only obeying And that's the extent of your walk with God. The Pharisees were great at obeying, but they were horrible. That's amen. They were horrible at the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, faith, doing things without being told. And so I just want to encourage you, I want you rich in heaven, and I want you rich here. But I am letting you know, if you want to be blessed, do it without being told. Witness without being told. Use wisdom. I think it's wonderful the Holy Spirit guides us. Sure. But how many of these stories, they did it without we reading any evidence or information, they were told to do it. And that's where the reward really, because when you do it without being told, it's coming from an area of your heart that is pure. My grandson, and forgive me for using him, but I only got two. When he said to his mother, nobody told him to say this, but on his own he said, "Mama, I'm glad it's me that has the disease and not you." Do I believe in healing? Yes, you're missing my point. You see, when you do it without being told, when you tell somebody you love them without them telling you they love you first, and you're not being told, a lot of times someone will say, "I love you," only because they want to hear you say back, "I love you." But we need you to say, "I love you," without a primer. I need you to be the one that returns to Jesus and gives thanks without being told. That's my message. I keep driving this nail in the piece of wood, and I'm going to split the wood. I need to quit without being told. Would you stand with me this morning, please? There's where the reward is. If you want to lay treasures up in heaven, do things without being told. Why, thank you. You didn't have to do that. That was so kind of you. I didn't do it because I had to. I did it because I wanted to. How many know we're supposed to love one another? Well, I'm going to love them because I have to. Lord Jesus, thank you for your goodness. Lord, let us be obedient. That's a given. But help us to go beyond obedience. And obey you. And do these things without being told. Simply because we love you. And we want to please you. I thank you, Lord. May you give us wisdom. I don't need to have the Holy Ghost tell me to dance. I don't need to have him tell me, "Praise him." I should be able to do that just because I'm grateful. Frida, would you lay your hands on your stomach, please? I don't know what's going on, but all morning I have felt, is there anything going on? Does that make sense at all? Lord Jesus, I pray for Frita. I pray for healing and that you minister. You know her body. And I just pray healing and heal her. Can I just say that I told my wife this morning, and forgive me, I am the world's worst at remembering names, but you told me your names last week. You filled out a card. All week I have been saying, I'm going to call them and tell them, thank you for coming. And I got sidetracked, no excuses. I was going to do it yesterday, and I got sidetracked, and this morning I went to my wife. I said, oh, honey, I forgot to call that couple that came and thank them for coming. And you know what you're doing. You reminded them, you know, come again. But you came without me calling. Thank you. Thank you. You have a son? There is something going on with, I don't know, one of them. But I want to pray for him. Father, I pray for his son. And that you minister. You know what it is, Lord. We pray for his wife. Frida mentioned this morning. And we pray for her and for her health. And minister to her. I love it, Holy Spirit, when you move on me. But may I be so full of you, I don't always have to be told on many of those things. Would you come find a place to pray? And let's look to the Lord. Whether you feel led to pray or not, we should. That's where the reward is. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.